welcome to worship. We are so glad that you are here this morning. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity. If this is your first time with us, we are especially glad to welcome you as our guest this morning. Hope that you will let us know you were here today, whether you're here for the first time or here all the time. And you can do that by filling out the connection card that's a part of your bulletin. If you're new, give us as much information as you're comfortable with. If you're here regularly, just include your name and your email, and then in the service a little bit later, you can drop those in the offering boxes. Thanks so much for doing that. Also, in your bulletin, you'll find information there about a variety of things going on in the life of Trinity that will help you get acquainted and connected with the church. Well, there's a story that Jesus tells in the Gospels about two men who enter the temple one day. It's a story about really two ways of approaching worship, or perhaps two ways of thinking about ourselves. The first man, as he enters, begins to pray, and as he prays, he rattles off all of the great things about himself. He's one of the members of the religious establishment, and he's proud of all that he has done, and he gives thanks that he's not like these others who don't know how to act and behave. And then the second man falls on his knees and beats his chest. Tax collector, a despised member of the community. And he cries out, knowing that he is a sinner, and asking God for mercy. And Jesus says, it's the second man that went home justified that day. Today we begin a new series of messages entitled, Losing Ourselves on Purpose. What does it look like to be followers of Christ? And we begin today by considering the question, what does true humility look like? So we're so glad that you are here as we start this series, and pray that throughout these next few weeks, God will speak to your heart, to all of our hearts, about what the way of Christ will look like for each of us in the days ahead. Again, welcome. Let me invite you to stand now and say good morning to someone close to you.
Would you please remain standing and join me as we sing our opening hymn?
Son, Holy Spirit, we love you, we worship you, and adore you. And as we gather here this morning to glorify your name, we pray, O God, that you change our hearts and lives in this hour. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now, if you would please join me in affirming our faith using this world social principles and affirmation. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and help us. We believe, God help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the use of technology which dangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven.
As we enter into a time of prayer as a community this morning, I certainly want us to keep in our hearts and minds those folks who have experienced and are still experiencing the devastation of Hurricane Matthew. We are grateful, obviously, that the storm for Florida and for us was not as bad in many areas as it could have been, and yet there are folks who are uncovering. There are folks who have experienced loss of life among family and friends. One of the things that this storm reminds us of is how, in an instant, families and persons, through no acts or intentions of their own, can find themselves displaced, find themselves homeless. And this is true of persons who are living without a home today as a result of the storms. It's also true of folks in our own community in other ways, people who find themselves homeless. Today's Mission Box addresses that through our partnership with Family Promise. Many of you know that Trinity once every quarter, basically, or once every 10 weeks or so, hosts families in our home who have found themselves homeless. And so later today, as you exit the worship space, if you would like to help support that ministry and work in our community, by placing offerings in the mission box for that. And just continue to pray for folks here in Gainesville, as well as folks all along the Atlantic coast who are figuring out how to recover and rebuild. Let me invite you to join me in a time of prayer, and I'll give you a few moments of silence so you can pray for whatever is on your heart that is burdening you today. Thank you. presence with us through all times and circumstances. We remember how from the earliest days, as your people had fled slavery, they wandered homelessly, and yet you were there to provide for them. And when they crossed over into a promised land where they would build and live and inhabit the earth, you called them to make way for others in their land, to provide shelter for those who were the homeless, the wanderers, the strangers, the aliens. As we think of those who have been displaced this morning, we pray that your followers might rise to the opportunity to make way for them in meaningful ways, to bring comfort and aid and reassurance, to use hands and arms and muscles and tools and resources to help our neighbors. As we continue to worship this morning, we ask that you would continue to guide us, to help us see all the ways in which you are calling us to follow in the footsteps of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And it is as he taught us that we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Of our worship and our devotion, we now bring our gifts as an expression of faith and an opportunity to participate in the work of God through the ministries of the church. As our ushers come forward, I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. Holy God, all that we are and all that we have are gifts that first flowed from you. So now as we return a portion of those gifts back to you, we pray your blessing upon them, that they might multiply in ways that reach lives with hope and good news, for the sake of your people. Amen.
gift to the temple, a great reminder for us this morning. When Steve and I began our ministry here with Trinity a few weeks ago, we decided that we would preach about Jesus and who he is and what he means to us. And the very last Sunday of that series, the scripture reading concluded with Jesus saying, "If any would become my followers, then let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their lives for my sake will find it." This morning we take up right where we left off and look at what does it mean to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. What does it mean to give ourselves away? What does it mean to be less concerned about ourselves than we are about others? And we do that as we think about what it means to deny ourselves, to lose ourselves on purpose. So that's where we begin this next series today, losing ourselves on purpose. The scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Philippians. Last week, Steve reminded you of the nice little, easy-to-remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Georgia Electric Power Company. I think you did that at this service. So if you turn to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and then Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Georgia Electric Power Company. So Philippians chapter 2, as this is really not a book, it's a letter that is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. I've always loved this letter. From when I was growing up, I loved this letter. But even more so in recent years, because Steve and I were the founding pastors of a church in Bradenton that we served for 19 years. And Paul writes this letter to the church that he founded in Philippi. Now, we know the story of what happened when he founded that church because we read about it in the 16th chapter of Acts. There we learn that Paul and a companion went over to Macedonia, to the city of Philippi, a Roman colony. And it was there on the banks of the river that Paul met Lydia. She was, she had a heart for God, and she was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a merchandiser of purple cloth. And what we learn is that she opened her heart to hear what Paul had to say, and then she and her entire household were baptized. That was the beginning of the church at Philippi. And then we know that Paul wrote this letter back to them when he was in prison. Probably he was very close to his death, and he was put to death for sharing the gospel. And it was then that he wrote this letter back to them. You can just hear the love and affection that he has for them. So let me read to you this passage from the second chapter of Philippians. Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with one another. Don't do anything from selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider himself being equal with God as something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, God highly honored him and gave him the name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you again to bow your heads and pray for me and sharing this message with you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If the question of the day is how do we lose ourselves on purpose, the scripture for this morning gives us one powerful answer to that question. Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. You know, as I was preparing to preach today, and we were all making preparations for Hurricane Matthew, I began to think about an image of water boys. Now, you all might not know what that means, but in August of 2005, after Hurricane Katrina devastated Louisiana and Mississippi on a Tuesday, on a Friday morning early, we got a phone call from someone in our congregation. And he said, I just can't take it anymore. I cannot watch anymore people dying in New Orleans. And so I'm going to rent the largest truck that I can drive, and I want Harvest, the church we were serving, to help me fill up that truck, and I'm going to drive as far as I can go and take supplies. Well, 12 hours later, Jerry Ogle, the one who had called us, and me and two other guys, Jeff Murphy and Steve Hicks, were on the way to Mississippi with the largest truck that Jerry could find, filled to the roof with supplies gathered by Harvest and by the community. And we drove out to Mississippi. When we arrived in Gulfport, Mississippi at Trinity United Methodist Church, we then unloaded all of those supplies. Diapers and baby supplies and toiletry kits and food and water and more water and more water. And we unloaded all of that, all of those supplies into their fellowship hall. They quickly became, because they had gas in the kitchen there, they quickly became a location for people who needed assistance and people who needed refuge. But a couple of days later, the church decided that it was too difficult to have all of that in the fellowship hall, and so they wanted us to move the water from the fellowship hall into a Sunday school classroom. That way people could come into the fellowship hall and receive a meal, a hot meal. Then they could go shopping for free, of course, through all of the tables with food and supplies. And then they could go out the back door and buy a Sunday school classroom and pick up one of these 16 packs of water and take it out to their car. So, we then took the water from the fellowship hall and put it on a dolly and stacked it up, rolled it over to the Sunday school classroom, unloaded it all in the Sunday school classroom, came back with the dolly to the fellowship hall, and loaded water on the dolly, and rolled it over to the fellowship hall, and unloaded in the Sunday school classroom again and again and again until, in the end, the Sunday school classroom was stacked about 5 feet high, wall to wall, with water. About 1,500 of those 16 packs of bottled water. It was back-breaking work. And those three men became known as the Water Boys. Now, these men, even though they were known as the Water Boys, had lives and families and careers. They were all in their mid-30s, very young, successful businessmen. They all had spouses. They all had families that they had left behind. And yet they were happily known as the Water Boys while we were in Mississippi. People would come up and say, "Hey, another truck has arrived with supplies. Do you think the Water Boys could help us unload?" And then they said, "You know, a single woman came in and her home has been flooded and there's a tree down and she couldn't get in the back door. Do you think the Water Boys could help her go and remove the tree from the back door and then clean it out for house?" And then the worst one, "Hey, there's an elementary school right behind the church, and they've been without power for 6 days, and it's really beginning to smell in the cafeteria. Do you think the Water Boys could go and clean out the rotten food out of the refrigerator and the freezer?" And they did it. The Water Boys did these things again and again. And on the way home, I was asking Jerry about his faith and about his future. And I asked him what he wanted. And he said, "You know what? I would be happy if I was always just known simply as a water boy. A water boy." And how are we supposed to lose ourselves on purpose? Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." How are we supposed to lose ourselves on purpose? One way to do that is by living with humility. True humility. C.S. Lewis says this about humility: "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." Now, that might not be completely true today, because we can look all around us currently and see examples of people who really do need to think less of themselves. But for most of us, for the average person, the latter might be more true. It's not that we think too much of ourselves and therefore need to think less of ourselves, but instead we do need to think of ourselves less. And who has given us the example and the power to do that? We are given that example in Christ. And we are given the example to live out our faith in Christ. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant." Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is fully God. And yet Jesus is willing to empty himself and take on human form and become a servant to us all. To empty oneself. There's no greater definition of the will of God lived out in our lives than to simply empty ourselves. To pour out our lives in servanthood to others and with a spirit of humility, so that then we lose ourselves I think of emptying out oneself. I cannot help but think about a story that I heard about Basura Bob. Now, for those of you who speak Spanish, you might know that Basura means trash. And so this is a story about Trash Bob. I met a youth minister and worship leader, and he had written a song several years ago, serving at a church nearby. He had written a song and told us the background story about Basura Bob. You see, this youth minister had gone on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, and they were doing a lot of pretty heavy-duty construction work while they were there, as trained folks do a lot when they go on mission trips. And Basura Bob knew that he didn't have the skill or the physical ability to be able to contribute to this construction work, and yet he was sure that he wanted to go anyway. And he was sure that somehow God would lead him to what his purpose would be on this trip. And so he went with them on the trip. And he was wandering around the town where they were working, and he started to notice the trash. All of the trash, everywhere, all around where the trash. And so he began to pick up the trash. And then he continued to pick up trash as he wandered around. He began to do that so much that he began to see that as his ministry. His ministry while he was there was simply to pick up trash. And of course it attracted the attention of the children in the community, and they began to follow him around. And as they did, they lovingly nicknamed him Basura Bob. Trash Bob. Give you words to the song that youth minister wrote about him. Trash in his pocket, the smile on his face. They give him their garbage, and he gives them grace. Someone's got to do it, but it's a dirty job. He's happy to call himself Basura Bob. One by one, he picks the candy wrappers up off the ground, and one by one, the boys nearby all stop there running around. Now, I know in the orphanage hangs a picture of Jesus' face, but if you were to ask them, I bet this is what they'd say. Jesus must look a lot like Basura Bob, willing to do the unlovely, to show unlovely ones love. And there's nothing fancy about him, but if you look real close at his hands, you'll see that Jesus must look a lot like Basura Bob. Jesus wants to look a lot like you and me. After all, he's called us his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet, and there's nothing fancy about it, just the mystery of flesh that clothes divinity. Jesus wants to look a lot like you and me. Jesus wants to look a lot like you and me. Can you live this way? In a society that promotes me first and my rights and worldly success, what does it mean to look like Jesus? It seems virtually impossible to do, but it's not. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Paul also says that in Philippians. Right after reminding us who Jesus is in this passage and how he lived, Paul says this. Put it up on the screen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. You know, we can't do it on our own, but Christ working in us can enable us to will and to work for God's good pleasure. One of the last images that we have of Jesus in Scripture is from the Last Supper. In the Gospel of John chapter 13, we are reminded of that image. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from the Father and was going to the Father, he got up from the table and he took off his outer garment and he wrapped a towel around himself. And he took Dirty, dusty feet of the disciples. A beautiful image of humility and servanthood. Jesus was the ultimate water bowl. Humility, true humility. Let this mind be in us and within Christ Jesus. Lose ourselves on purpose. There's a prayer that's a favorite of mine. Many of you may be familiar with it. It's called John Wesley's Covenant Prayer. It's attributed to him. Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement as he was trying to revive the Anglican Church in the mid-1700s. And this prayer reminds us of humility. What it does mean to lose ourselves on purpose. That's why I invite you to bow your head. I'll pray that for us now. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Loving and patient God, we are so competitive. We want to know who will be best and first, and we hope that it is each one of us. Jesus reminded us that the best of us will be the servants. First will be those who are willing to put themselves last, not for their own honor, but for God's honor and praise. When our minds and hearts wander away from our desires, your desires for us, when we fail to live with humility and embrace your image in us, gently call us back to you. Empty our hearts of conceit and pride. Empty our souls of greed and self-centeredness. Empty our minds of thinking we are better than others. As you poured out your very self through your beloved Son, pour your Spirit into our hearts today. Forgive our selfish purposes and our wrongful attitude. Reclaim us with your love. God hears the prayers of our hearts, sees our actions, knows our attitudes. In the midst of our sinfulness, God reaches the forgiveness that God has offered to you, and trust in God's mercy. You remember the night that Jesus sat at the table after he lovingly and selflessly washed the feet of his disciples. And as part of that meal, he took a loaf of bread, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, broke the bread, offered it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, all of you.
This is my body given for you. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, giving thanks to his Father in heaven, he offered it to his friends. They drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this. So we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, selflessly giving of ourselves to those around us. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. So we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping to serve communion to please come to the rails. In the United Methodist Church, communion is an open table. You do not have to be a member of Trinity or any church for that matter. You simply come as God's Spirit invites you to come. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means we tear off a piece of bread, hand it to you, and invite you to dip it into the cup. We ask that you exit your rows to your left and return to your right. There will be four stations across the front. And if gluten-free is a need that you have, those are empty stations here. But you are invited to come for all. Thank you. pray that you use this holy meal to nourish and sustain us as we seek to lose ourselves on purpose and to be about the business that you have called us to in the world. Help us, having been fed at this table, to be more like you so that others see Jesus in us. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Stand together and sing three verses of God's Great is Thy Faithfulness. And praise God. As you go out this morning, I invite you to go and to love God and to serve your neighbor in all that you do. Go out and leave.